Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. There is reported on CBN News, when it's available to you on the VFN Torch, that in Egypt now, they're forcing Christians to pay the called the jizya tax, but it's also not only called that tax, I'll tell you what it's called in a moment, because we've reported about this on the VFN Torch. It's called the zakat, And the reason, I'll tell you in a minute, the reason why we know about this, because you're going to be really surprised what's happening in America, but this is what they're doing. Word's coming that many in the towns of 20,000, many people in the towns of 20,000 Christians are being forced to pay this particular temple tax, this Islamic law tax, this jizya tax required by the Islamic law. And Islamic extremists have controlled the town since the police were forced, it's reported, since July the 3rd, the day the Egyptian people and their military deposed Mohamed Morsi from the presidency. In other words, this whole caliphate began to take over in this area. According to the Voice of Martyrs, contact in Egypt, the Muslims have forced at least 140 Christians to pay the daily jizya tax, which is the Islamic tax, starting at 200 Egyptian pounds, and has gone as much as what, $15,000.
Wow.
And this one man, he did not pay it, and they actually killed him for not paying the temple tax, because there's three things, remember, the three things that's suspected in the what's written in the Quran and Islamic law. And a caliphate means all of a sudden no longer is, in America, for example, if it had a caliphate, the Constitution is nowhere there anymore. It's being ruled under the Quran, their quote, Bible. And this is what it says. It says you either convert to Islam or you'll be in servitude, which means you pay the tax. You work, but you pay the tax.
Mm-hmm.
And the jizya here. And you have to pay, and obviously it's whatever that you're demanding from the people. And that's because you're a servant of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And third is you die. Remember? That's what they said.
Off the air.
Convert, right? Servitude, or die. And they just killed this man, according to CBN and the World of Martyrs, because he didn't pay, the Voice of Martyrs, because he didn't pay the tax. You think, well, what's that have to do with America? Well, I don't know. Let's just take a look. Looking here on the VFN Torch, there's an article called Washington's Bully Pulpit, Don't Let Them Push You to Do Wrong. And in that, our current president is saying that he believes that Islam is a peaceful religion, and presently that under the 501c3 protections of First Amendment protections of religion and taxes organization, the zakat or the jizya, the temple tax for Islam, is not tax deductible. So he specifically says that he believes he's going to work with Islam. He's going to work with American Muslims so that they too can have the benefits of the 501c status, the tax exempt status. Well, first of all, you know, tax exempt or not, I mean, that's not the issue here. The issue is, why are we letting anybody bring in something that is governmental? It is not a religion in the sense that, you know, Islam is about, it's about a government, establishing a physical government under a theocracy, which would be in contradict American government. And that's what took so long for Mormonism to be able to be thought about, because they had such a theocracy going on that they were concerned that they would be stronger than, because they have a temple tax. They have a kind of thing like that. And, so he's saying, hey, we're going to make this more acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just look what happened in Egypt. And we're the ones that empowered the Muslim Brotherhood. Morsi was the president of the Muslim Brotherhood, the president of Egypt, who is in the Muslim Brotherhood, and he was forced out of office. This is what happened when he got forced out of office. According to what I just told you, according to the Voice of Martyrs and what happened in this Egyptian town, they're forcing the Christians now to go into servitude. They're going to have to pay this temple tax, the zakat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The think about it. It's like, oh my goodness. And we're going to make this acceptable in America? And this is what the Quran says, 2177. Righteousness is not turning your face towards the east or the west. Righteousness are those who believe in God, the last day, the angels, I'm reading from the Quran, the scriptures, and the prophets, and they give the money cheerfully to the relatives, the orphans, the needy, the traveling alien, the beggar, to free the slaves, and they observe the contact prayer and give the obligatory charity called zakat. In other words, they have to give the temple tax is what they're doing. Now, I believe that the zakat is what you do voluntarily, and the jizya is the forced servitude, and it's all going into the same pot. And by doing that, is they keep their word, they deal with hardships and face the persecution, which would be the jihad situation. But they also use the money, not only for that, they use the money according to 2177, they use it for war. And these are the truthful, it says, these are the righteous.
Wow.
And you can see this in the VFN Torch. We'll make it a related article to this or whatever, but that's when, so when our president stands up and says that we're going to make that the zakat, the zakat is a Z-A-K-A-T, is a temple tax that you pay to the temple to go to these different areas. And one of those is war. They would call it probably jihad,
right?
The personal struggle.
Right.
And this is the personal struggle, is to free everybody that's not Islamic. From not being Islamic, either by conversion, by servitude, or death. I mean, that would be, you know.
So the president's supporting this.
And the fruit of this, the fruit of our current president's choice to be leader over Egypt was for this kind of stuff. And now we're having Christians oppressed, 20,000 Christians oppressed, being forced to pay the jizya, which is the servitude form of that, paying the temple tax.
These are tax-exempt, supposedly tax-exempt dollars are going to be used back into war?
Yeah, and that's the reason, based on the reports, that Congress would not accept that, because that would be a violation of our Constitution.
Hello.
Because we're called to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States from enemies foreign and domestic. And so here we are today, right now, proof positive. See, what you got to do is just look. Say, is it happening? Because you know them by their fruit. And right now, they just killed a Christian, the Voice of Martyrs reports, in Egypt, where our president empowered the Muslim Brotherhood to be able to take a form of leadership there when he invited them to the Cairo speech, when his first international speech, which you can find out and hear yourself on the VFN Torch. And he thought the Muslim Brotherhood would be a good form of leadership. And anybody that knows the Brotherhood is like, what? They've been outlawed since World War II from any of these places. I mean, even Assad's father, Syria, king of Syria, ran them out of there, you know.
He killed 30 to 40,000 of them.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, wow, they must be really, really evil. Even the Egyptian Muslims are marching now with American Christians side by side in America going, what are you doing to Egypt? Why would you put a terrorist over us? Why would you do this to us, Mr. President? We're talking about a biblical perspective here. And this is the biblical perspective, is the fact that if we sit back and let this, and we feed into this narrative, we participate with the Arab League in wrapping itself around each of these nations, including Syria and Egypt and all that. Your brothers, the body of Christ, remember the ones that God said, Jesus said to Paul, why do you keep persecuting me? That would be us persecuting Jesus. If we get behind people and get behind whatever false religions and support them to be over your brothers and sisters in another country, another nation, who is going to kill them, put them in servitude, rape their women, force their children to convert to Islam, we're doing that to Jesus.
Mm.
We're doing that to Jesus. And secondly, why in the world would we do that to anybody? I mean, not just to Christians. Why would we do that to anybody? Why would we force what we know not to be true over someone? And so we're seeing that today, on CBN News. They're reporting how in Egypt, in this town in Egypt, they are forcing the citizens there in this town to pay this jizya tax to, this is called the Islamic tax, to people who are not. That's called the servitude. That's be the servitude. You work and you pay us money. And obviously they're picking all these different figures, $203 per week. That's equivalent to $203 a week, up to $15,000, this one man they were demanding from him. And he didn't pay it. And guess what they did? They did the last option that it talks about in the Quran. They took his life. And who was this? Reportedly, according to CBN News and the Voice of the Martyrs, this is the Muslim Brotherhood, the supporters of President Morsi, who's been deposed, who our president and our country helped put into power and now is allegedly supporting in Syria to dethrone King Assad. We're just talking about what's taking place in Egypt, where they're forcing Christians to pay the temple tax, the Islamic tax there, and they even took a man's life, reported by CBN and the Voice of Martyrs, that didn't pay the money. And this is exactly the, of course, that would be considered the, I don't know what they would consider it, but in regards to the Islamic believer paying would be the zakat. And our president was stating, you can see this on the VFN Torch, publicly saying that he wants to change the American laws where the zakat is actually accepted as an acceptable form of nonprofit, where people would begin to give their money and get tax write-off for it. And but the problem with that is not the tax write-off, you know, whatever they want to do with that, but the fact is it supports war. Part of it is supports jihad. And we read about that, and you can find out more on, you actually see a clip snapshot of the Quran, so you actually see the Quran, because a lot of people don't have a lot of time to read it. But understand that Christianity, the reason that this is a discussion about this, of what's going on. And you're starting to see in America where the church is getting so intertwined in politics, the church begins to think like historically thought. All of a sudden, Christians begin to try to do it through horizontal, try to advance the kingdom through physical and fleshly, and it's built it by hands, and he says that it's not built by hands.
Right.
And this is the difference is, you know, and as I was talking about Yulong in China, I don't know if I was talking on the air about it, but Yulong in China was talking to me, and he said the reason why China doesn't want the church there because they see it as another kingdom. But the difference is this. The people that are trying to establish physical governmental things, calling it Christian, is and saying this is the church, calling that building or that organization or that, you know, whatever apparatus that's helping you fulfill the Great Commission, but calling that apparatus, that organization, the church, causes people who are in a kingdom already to start getting concerned, because you're saying you're trying to take over here. And many would say, because of the mindset, they would say, just like the Catholics did back in the 1500s and the Dark Ages, they would go, oh yeah. But that's not the kingdom of God. That's not the kingdom of God. It's not a physical kingdom. But Yulong was talking about in China, he was talking about the Catholic Church, because they have their own nation. They have their own king, pope, you know, the papacy. And so they're thinking, you're trying to spread your kingdom. Well, why would you come to China? Why would the papacy come here and want to put ambassadors here and want to put your governors here? And, you know, and you build up a building and you call that a church, then that's part of your kingdom. Why are we going to let you build these
embassies
around us like this? Not even embassies, the fact that they're saying that your kingdom's here. And then you got to understand, and so that's what Islam's doing. Islam is actually is about establishing radical Islam, Muslim Brotherhood, And you could see this on the VFN tour, just the, you know, Muslim Brotherhood 101, just a basic whiteboard drawing, A, B, C, this is that. But they want to be able to establish a caliphate. But that word really doesn't mean a lot of things to a lot of people. But this is what they want to do. They want everybody, no matter who they are, this is their understanding that God is one. There is no Trinity. There is no Son of God. Mm-hmm. There is no Spirit of God. And that Jesus is not the Son of God. Mm. He's a prophet. But this is what they believe. And that that Muhammad heard from God. He's a prophet of God. And to follow what Muhammad said in the Quran, that's what the Quran is written, you know, by Muhammad, is to follow the perfect way that things should be done. Government. It's a political thing. It's a government. It's a tangible, physical government. That's why the things call. That's why they call it tax. That's why you would say, well, why would a religion demand? I could understand why people who serve that God and that religion, well, you know, give money and offerings and whatever you called it, tax or whatever. I could understand that because they're part of the organization. But why would they require people that weren't part of their religion to pay the jizya, the tax? Why would they? Because that's the servitude part of it. Because you're in a kingdom. You're in the Islamic kingdom. Notice that when you hear news reports and you have something happening in the name of Muhammad, you hear, you know, somebody's blowing something up, somebody's killing somebody, and they cry out Allah Akbar. They're talking about Muhammad, and they're talking about Muhammad's God and the God they serve. But when they do it in, when they talk about the nation of Islam, they talk about the whole world. But when the manifestation of the evil takes place,
yeah,
they say an Afghan, right, went into a police headquarters and they blew things up. Right. You know, 2 days prior to that, they said he's part of the nation of Islam. Well, the reason why he's part of the nation of Islam, because they see it as one. They just, it's, you know, you would say taking over the world. They would call it evangelizing the world and bringing them into what they would call the truth. Mm-hmm. And that everybody would confess in their mind that Muhammad is the true prophet, they think, they would say. You got to do that. And that's why Christians are in jail right now in Iran, because they won't do that. Mm-hmm. And then you serve a God, their God, Allah, and through Muhammad's writings, and you pray to him, what, 4 times a day, right? 4 or 5 times a day, if, okay, off the top of my head. And so their ultimate goal, people say, I'm just terrified because there's going to be a caliphate coming. It's like, that's their plan. The plan is to advance their kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they feel like the conversion is a good thing, that if you convert to Islam, you're converting to what they believe is the truth. You can't deny reality. That's what they believe. And it's the antithesis, by the way, of the Word of God. I mean, we got a video and some audio that you got to see on the VFN Torch that puts them side by side to understand the difference between Christianity and Islam. And so they're establishing a political, governmental nation of Islam. But they're not going to say on the news, and the news buys into it too, because the news lets them, people report, hey, this is the nation of Islam, that great things are happening.
Right.
And they talk about how big it is, and it's growing, and it's advancing, it's migratory into Great Britain and all these different areas. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're just, everybody's bowing in the streets and all, the nation of Islam, nation of Islam. But all of a sudden, when somebody's forced to pay the jizya, mm-hmm, they don't say the nation of Islam, one of the factions in us is coming against us, so we came down in the region of GPS location in our nation, mm-hmm, and now we're forcing them to pay the jizya. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't say, they just go all the way down. Well, a community in Egypt,
right,
had some of Morsi's supporters who are now forcing, it's like, that's part of the nation of Islam.
Right.
You know, whether right or we know wrong, that's their belief. So you have to understand. You have to understand people. You have to understand where they're coming from. And if people believe it's right to them. That's how they're going to operate. That's their perspective, whatever they believe it is. And they'll begin to have those kind of behaviors that respond to their beliefs. And if somebody tells their little child that if you die in the name of Muhammad, this will be your greatest thing you've ever done for the family. Mm. And so, which would be called jihad, a form of jihad. And so a mother will take her child and they will speak to that child and tell the child about all this great honor. And she's convinced that she's going to be sending her child directly to heaven. Mm. Family's going to be blessed. And the child doesn't have to live through this life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so she'll strap bombs around the child and think they're doing God a favor and walk right into the Ben Yehuda Mall in Israel and set that thing off and kill the poor child in the name of a false God and kill Jews. Mm-hmm. And whoever else is there. I mean, we were there. It could have happened to us as well.
Yeah.
And it is because you have to understand how it works. So when you say, hey, you know, Islam is a friendly religion that we need to just somehow let it be recognized in a way that the Quran is a peaceful book and that the goal is not conversion, servitude, or what's happening in Egypt. If we do that, what's going to happen? Their natural progression is, hey, we need to take over here. This is, you know, we got to evangelize these Americans. We got to, you know, we got to convert them. We're going to have to get them. We got to get out there and do what we do.
Make them pay that jizya.
Or they probably would hope that you would pay, you know, the zakat, which means you would have converted. You would have admitted, you would have denied Jesus Christ as the Son of God, which is busting hell wide open, by the way, if you do that. Mm-hmm. And then now you're part of the, you're voluntarily wanting to honor their God. And, or you're, if you don't, then they would, another part of conversion of America would like you pay the jizya, what's happening in Egypt. I mean, listen, if you're complaining about the taxes in America, right? I mean, even Jesus talked about, used the analogy of a tax collector when he talked about, you know what I'm saying? We have the people that work in the tax offices in America. We have human beings who are compassionate, who are our neighbors, who were trying to work this thing out under God and under our Constitution. It is nothing like another nation's where people are being forced. And it's definitely not like the Nation of Islam in the context of being that you've got to pay the zakat. Part of that's to fund jihad. And if you're not part of if you're not a Muslim, you're going to have to be, if you want to live, you're going to have to be in servitude, which means you're going to have to pay tribute to their God, mm-hmm. which is the jizya. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pay the jizya according to the voice of martyrs and according to history and according to the Quran, what just happened in Egypt is they killed them. They killed them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, when our founding fathers, the Declaration of Independence was not a good idea. They were declaring their independence from all this stuff. Every bit of it. They were saying, this is something that we do not any longer want to be dependent. We are independent of the stuff. You know, all these religions that are trying to take over the world, all these kings who are trying to take over religions, and the mixture of all of that. And in 1776, in July the 4th, 1776, they signed a Declaration of Independence from that. And in 1787, September the 17th, which would be like next Tuesday anniversary, they signed United States Constitution.
Wow.
And then in 1791, December the 15th, 1791, they brought in the Bill of Civil Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. And the first one is the government shall make no laws concerning religion. This is what it says specifically. Let me pull it out and read it for you. First Amendment to the United States Constitution, because we declared our independence from the king and all the things that we're just talking about, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of press or the right of people to peacefully, not jihad here, peacefully assemble and to petition the government for the readiness of a grievance. Understand this, that every congressman, every president, every judge, every military soldier, every citizen of America who became a citizen, and citizens now should stand up and take the Pledge of Allegiance that says this, that we take an oath to defend this Constitution. Think about it. This Constitution that we're talking about from enemies, foreign and domestic. And what we have here, if we start allowing this to happen, like we and don't think if we sow these seeds in Egypt, that these seeds are not going to be sown in our nation, and they have been.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't protect America and the Constitution from domestic enemies, people that want to hurt Americans, people who want to put them under jizya or zakat, conversion or servitude, either one, as long as the money's coming in and paying tribute to the thing, to the government, then we're going to lose this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not wrong for you to expect your congressman, your senator, your president, your generals, and your neighbor to have an allegiance. I mean, walk into the graveyards of the soldiers, your brothers and sisters and sons and daughters who gave their life, who defended the Constitution, which we stand, this flag, this nation, what we stand, one nation under God. They defended it with their lives. It's not something that kind of we squeeze into our life. That's actually the bylaws that actually helps us survive as a nation. That's why the police officer does not intrude your home. That's why he or she can't stop you just because on the road. That's why they can't search your property and your premises and all that, because of the Constitution. That's why I can talk to you right now freely over VFN radio and on TV. Understand, the reason why I can do that is because of the Constitution, what God is allowed to have in America.
Mm-hmm.
So allowing Islam to flourish and spread in America, those who are fully loyal to Islam would see it positive for Americans to convert and pay zakat, which the president's trying to work out through the government to get them supported in that, or jizya, what the president already worked out in Egypt for those Christians being oppressed and we're not lifting a hand to help them. What's the answer? The answer is, Jehoshaphat told us, look up. Realize you can't win this in the flesh. You're not supposed to build some physical government. The kingdom of God is like this. It enters your heart. You can't look over there to the left. You can't look over to the right. Jesus said, don't believe anybody when they tell you, look over there. There it is. Because why? The kingdom of God is within you. That's why you can go. That's why a Chinese believer who has a passion for their Arab people an Islamic nation can sell themselves as a slave, as a servant, and go work in the household of a Muslim family, which, by the way, the Quran tells them to treat that person really well but in their household, in hopes that they may win one of them. And she can still be loyal to the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is within her. The kingdom of God, if you're a believer, the king of God, the dominion's inside of you. That's why if you got to spread the kingdom, you got to break loose from the corral, the bondage, the buildings, the stuff. I mean, hey, the buildings are cool. I'm not saying anything, but you got to go outside of it. The way the kingdom spreads is you spread and you tell people about Jesus and the love of God. You don't convert them to your political persuasion. You don't say, hey, the answer to life is a conservative party. God laughs at that. The answer to mankind is God's Son, Jesus Christ. And when they make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, this is what you do. You go to them. You get permission to speak in their life, and you tell them about the goodness of God and the love that God has for them. And you tell them that God will forgive them and bring them into his family. You tell them this. And what's going to happen is when you begin to share the gospel of God, the good news of God, the word of God, and you begin to tell them the things that God does. And if you're around a place of people that call themselves believers and you're not seeing what happens in the word of God happening around you, tell them it's not happening. See what happens. Then find out. Listen, you only have a limited amount of lifetime. You have a limited amount of lifetime. You got to answer alone for yourself. Don't think that you're going to be able to point to any witnesses or suspects. You stand alone before God. Get as quickly as you can around a body of believers who believes God, who not only believes God has a son named Jesus, but they believe the book of God and the miracles of God and the power of God. And they see in their presence the fulfillment of what God said happens with the believers, because this is what happens when you actually move in the context of what I'm talking about and share with that particular person who's not a believer. God will manifest his kingdom in their presence, and they'll be healed, they'll be delivered, a word of knowledge, the power of God. Somehow God will just love on them. He will do something to share with them how much he loves them, and they will know supernaturally. They'll just know God loves me. And at that point, I'm not talking about Islamic kingdoms. I'm not talking about Catholic kingdoms. I'm not talking about religious kingdoms, all these earthly kingdoms. I am talking about the kingdom of God, which dwells in the heart of every believer. And then when this happens, when they sense the presence of God and the healing, the deliverance, whatever happens to them, how God shows himself to them, that's when you look at them in the square in their face and you said, listen, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. That's why you're telling them. You're not saying the conservative party's near. You're not saying whatever your political persuasion is near. You're not saying the organization's here. You're not saying the caliphate's near and your own religious caliphate, whatever it is. You're saying the kingdom of God is near. They're experiencing the dominion of God, and now they have a chance to enter into God's kingdom. That you both may be cupbearers to an evil king. You both may be servants to Muslims in a Muslim household. You may be living in a country or have parents or children or whatever they're living for the devil, but you're inside your heart. They have a chance to say, you know what? I want to make this King Jesus the Lord of my life. And guess what? At that point, the true kingdom, God's kingdom, enters into your heart. And now you are in the kingdom of God. Did you change the political landscape? No. Did you change borders of your nation? No. Did you force anybody to do anything? No. Did anybody force you? No, you can't be forced in the kingdom of God. You choose to be in the kingdom of God. But guess what? Everywhere you go, the kingdom goes. And he said, when the kingdom is spreads, when the kingdom is preached to all, then the end will come. And if the kingdom of God is within you, think about this. If the kingdom of God is within you, you're a kingdom container. You're a kingdom. You contain the kingdom of God. So now if you want to loose the kingdom, if you want to advance the kingdom, don't start bringing out nails and boards and plaster and sheetrock and crystal and all that. Go tell somebody about God. And you could stay totally under a Islamic nation who lives under the caliphate, paying jizya, and be a powerful man and woman of God in the kingdom of God. And they may let you go in and be like a cupbearer. Their grand supreme leader allows you to be in their household and serves them. And God gives Pharaoh a dream. And all of a sudden, the glory of God, bam, God reveals the dream to you. And you tell them. And Pharaoh, an evil man, says, I'm going to put you over. I'm going to put you over this caliphate. I'm going to put you over this nation. I'm going to put you over all this evil stuff we had here, because obviously you are the man. If you get this kingdoms messed up and you start trying to build natural kingdoms, that will never happen. But if you stay in the kingdom of God and advance the kingdom of God, no matter what, where you are, I mean, you could even serve God in a church building, by the way. You can serve God. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It could be anywhere. And so the kingdom of God, that's the difference. When you see people advancing Islam, they're advancing a governmental, physical kingdom here on earth, of which the caliphate, their quote, Bible, their Quran, is the operating principle. It's their constitution. And there's three ways: convert and pay zakat, like our president is trying to get approved, or be forced to pay the tax if you're not under servitude, which would be the jizya, what's happening right this moment in Egypt. Or, according to the Voice of Martyrs, what just happened in Egypt, the guy who didn't pay, they killed him. Let's go. Let's tell people about God. Go where I send you. Go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom of God. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.